The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. This is our annual Ladies' Night edition. So with me tonight, we've got two of our recurring guests for this show, Lori and Kayla, from New England, just like me. So what's going on? Start with Lori.
All is well. Just nothing but cautious optimism going into the season. That's, you know, trying to keep things seatbelted so I'm not getting too hyped up about anything.
I've got reckless optimism, and that's that's like strange coming from me, but I just feel like it's going to work out. And you know, the division isn't stout right now, so there's no... Everyone says the Yankees are going to win the division, but I'm not sold on that, so we'll see. But Kayla, how have you been? You've had some interesting developments in the last year, actually, personally.
Like, yeah, no.
Coaching,
I mean,
and...
Oh, yeah. So I'm a speech therapist assistant, and I was at the high school in the beginning of the year. I took on a coaching job, so I did JV girls soccer, and it was a very interesting experience. I played soccer in high school, so it's very different from when I played. Like, it was tough getting these girls just to show up for practice. So I have my work cut out for me for next season.
So are you the tough coach?
Yes and no. Like, I do try to relate to them, you know, try to get them to like me. But I mean, when it's game time, I don't stop yelling on the sidelines. And if, you know, if they really upset me, then they know, they definitely know. Like, there was one game where everybody was walking the entire game. And the next practice, I told them that don't bring your cleats, just bring your running shoes. And we're just going to run the whole time. And I made them run the entire time. They didn't think I was serious. And the varsity coach turned around and looked at me and was like, "You weren't kidding." I was like, "Nope, I wasn't kidding."
I respect that. They say it's hard. It's better to start off hard and then kind of soften up a little than to, you know, start from the other end. I'd be a savage of a coach. The parents would probably have me fired. I know we said we wouldn't swear, but I'd be talking shit to their kids, you know, just trying to fire them up. And that's just how I am. But that's how my parents talked to me and my uncles. You know, they were tough, and, you know, that's how I got my thick skin. But yeah, so that's fun. Do you want to stick with soccer, or are there other sports down? I mean, you're young, so you've got decades ahead of you if you want.
Yeah, I mean, for now, I think I'll just stick with soccer. It was a lot. It took up a lot of time. There was practice every day, games twice a week, you know, and I did enjoy it, but it was, you know, a lot, and I want to improve. It was my first year, and I didn't really know what I was doing, and I was kind of like hired, and here you go. So I had to learn a lot on my own as well. But next year is definitely going to be a different year, because I'm going to be starting fresh right at the beginning. You know, when I was hired, it was right after preseason, and I want to say a week after I was hired, we had our first game. So I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? But I just try to remember, like, what I went through as a player, and try to use what my coaches did with me, you know, to make me a better player, and use that on, you know, my players now. And, you know, I also try to teach them other things outside of soccer, you know, life lessons as well, you know, being on time, you know, commitment, that kind of stuff, you know, modeling those things to those girls, because they need that, you know, they need that role model in their life.
Absolutely. Sounds like you've kind of got it all outlined and, you know, a good foundation to work off of with that. So let's get into the Red Sox a little. Well, sort of. Lori.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel about Will Fleming?
Oh, dear. Right out of the gate, eh? So let's kind of take a little walk down memory lane, shall we? And let's talk about Joe Castiglione. Every time, you know, it just wasn't summer. It wasn't summer until you heard Joe Castiglione calling a game on the radio. And it was like listening to Grandpa, because he would tell you not only what was going on with the game, but he had all of this history and all of these incredible stories, and he knew all the things, and it was amazing. And then they stuck this guy named Will Fleming next to him, and the only show I actually enjoyed with Will and Joe was when they played Joe Castiglione Bingo. He had these catchphrases of things he would say. And during the course of the game, if he said the things, they had a bingo card with all of the phrases. That was kind of fun. But the retirement part, when he announced his retirement, I knew it was inevitable. It still broke my heart into a million pieces. And it was so appropriate that his shirt said 42 when they did the ceremony. I actually watched the ceremony online, and it was awesome. It was so good. And now he's a Hall of Famer, so that's awesome too. But lo and behold, Mr. Henry decided he wasn't going to attend the retirement party for Mr. Castiglione for no good reason. Unless there was a death in his family, there's no reason why that man should not have been there. That was just a complete disrespect. And I'm very passionate about that. But anywho, let's now come into the forefront. So I had the winter to kind of wrap my brain around the fact that Joe Castiglione would not be calling games this summer. And I'm starting to listen to the spring training games, and I hear nothing but Will Fleming. And I'm like, oh, God, Lord, please, just how am I going to get used to this guy that I'm just going to say it. To me, he's the douchiest douchebag in Doucheville. He's arrogant. There's an arrogance about him that I just find entirely annoying. And today's game was Cooper Boardman and Rob Bradford. And if they kept that team together, Cooper Boardman was actually really interesting to listen to, because he's young and he's from the Woo Sox, and he comes to the show now to do the big league games. And he actually does a really good job, and he's passionate about it because he's young, and it's really kind of cool to listen to. Anything but Will Fleming. Just don't make me listen to Will Fleming all summer long. Please, if you have any mercy or compassion in your heart, WEEI, do not make me listen to that man all summer long.
Yeah, you know, he interviewed, I think, for the White Sox TV job, and I was like, oh, please let him get it. Please let him get it.
Yes. And
they're like, nope. So I'm like, crap, we still have him. And Jason, I think, was the one that pointed out on the show, like, he'll, when he's calling a play, I don't know, he gets a little weird with his wordplay, like almost seductive, and it's creepy sometimes. It's
oh my gosh,
it's weird. Yeah, to us it is. I don't know what it is. And then he got really political in 2020, which kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Yeah, I just gradually I'm like, luckily I don't listen. But with Joe Castiglione, the funny thing about him is I think he's like early to mid 70s by now. And even if you go back to 2024, which was, 21 years ago, he still sounded like he was like 80 years old in all those clips. And maybe he did when he was 30. I don't know. He just sounds like an old guy, but so many iconic calls, you know, from him. And so, yeah. So,
yeah, Yeah, I think that that's what left the bad taste of my mouth with Fleming, was how political he got. And I used to ride him on Twitter, like, just shut your pie hole. I don't want to hear about politics. This is my time to just escape from it all when I'm listening to baseball and you're dragging politics in it. He used to give Tanner Houck such a hard time for not getting the vaccine. And I used to just argue with him over Twitter about that. And I think he blocked me, but which is fine, because whatever. But yeah, I don't care for him. I really don't care for him. And yeah, there's, you know, each team has their version of Joe Castiglione. It was Vince Scully for the Dodgers, and it was Harry Carey for the Cubs. And so it's, for us, it was Joe Castiglione. And it's just, it's so wonderful that we had that, but man, it's going to make me miss it so much this year.
Yeah. I mean, you've lost Orsillo, you've lost Remy, you've lost, you know, Joe Castiglione. But Kayla, what are your thoughts?
I was just about to say, you know, he's just iconic. Like, there's just no way anybody's ever going to be able to fill his shoes, you know, definitely not Will Fleming. Not a fan of him either. And I will miss Joe Castiglione. I mean, it's just, that was part of my childhood, you know, that voice, you know, we had, associating it with Red Sox. It just, it's going to be missed.
One of the funniest things, and it's funny in a sort of unfortunate way, but you would hear the Red Sox would have like runners on in the ninth and have a shot to either tie it or win it or walk it off and whatever. And Castiglione would be on the call that inning, and he'd be like, Red Sox have a chance to win it. You know, there's two runners in scoring position. Yoshida's at the plate, and he hits into a double play, and the Red Sox lose. You could hear like the emotion just being deflated. Like, Joe Castiglione loved the Red Sox. And
yeah,
you could tell when he was, you know, living with the team and literally dying with the team, as we would cough up those games. So I miss it. And Lou Maloney will be doing less WEI, which is sad if you're a radio person. But the good news is he's going to be doing a lot more TV. I think 120 games, they said, something like that, mm-hmm. which is good. Mm-hmm. Lou has come at us a couple times on Twitter. Fine. I'm good with it. Whatever, you know, we're lightning rods. And, but he's, you know, he's one of us. He's a New Englander, you know, he sounds like us, reacts like us. So I think that's a positive development. I said just maybe two or three shows ago, the unfortunate thing is with the team getting good, that might save Dave O'Brien. And I'm not an O'Brien guy. I don't hate him as much as Will Fleming, but I don't like Dave O'Brien.
Yeah. I when you said that about Joe Castig, that was, I loved that about him so much, that he was so transparent. Like he was just as disappointed as I was, just as upset as I was that we would lose a game, and just as elated as I was when we won a game. And I loved that about him. But yeah, for you guys who, I don't have cable, so I don't, and I will not spend the money on the Nesson subscription. I refuse. So it's for you guys who watch the TV, I'm glad that you at least have Lou Maloney. And it's nice to have a local guy. I wish we had someone who had grown up with the team. And I feel like that's kind of Cooper Boardman. So it's, like I said, I'll settle for him. So if anyone from WEEI is listening, please, 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 please put Cooper Boardman in there. And, you know, maybe if you have to put in Will for a game or two here or there, I suppose I can suck it up, but try to avoid it at all costs. Thanks.
Remind me after the show, and I'll give you an alternative to be able to watch the games.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, but remind me because I'll forget. But all right. So, Kayla, you mentioned, you know, one of the elephants in the room, third base. You got a shiny new. What are your thoughts on that?
So let me first start off by saying I love Devers. He's a one of my favorite players on the team.
But
I love his but well no, but if you want to be a team player, if you want to be a leader, I feel like there are some times where you might have to make some sort of sacrifice. So I just did not like his reaction of I'm third base. I mean, yes, it's great that he wants to be there, but let's be honest, his defense was not the best there. I mean, I was pulling my hair out every single time a ball got hit to him. And I just think that, you know, after calling out the front office last season about, you know, wanting to acquire players, and I believe he did it the season before too at the trade deadline, but it's been a couple of times that he's called out the front office about not getting players, and this offseason we finally do. And yeah, we might have to, you know, move some pieces around, figure out this jigsaw puzzle. But now he's like, no, this is where I'm staying. And it's, you know, what if that doesn't work though for the team, you know? And not to bring other sports into comparison, but it made me think of like how, you know, in football, for the Pats, it was always what was best for the team. That was always the philosophy, the culture, what's best for the team. And that's, you know, everybody bought into that and lived by it. And then I think about, you know, on the Celtics, you know, Jason Tatum, who's one of their better players, sometimes he doesn't score as much. He's creating opportunities for other people because that's what's best for the team. And, you know, those, I just feel like by saying that, he's not doing what's best for the team. I think that if there's a better option at third base, whether it be Bregman or not, we should explore that. So that's my little rant on that thing.
Well, Evan Kay, Jeremy Schilling are two guys that hardcore Devers go to DH. And I'm sympathetic with him, you know. And like I said, I would try to move Casas and put him at first, you know, if he wants to stay in the lineup. But he hasn't even gotten into game action yet. So it's,
yeah, and I mean, I feel for him too. You know, he signed his contract while he was playing third base, but I also think about, you know, David Ortiz. He didn't play third base. He was a DH pretty much, first base, you know, at times, and he was a great Red Sox legend. Like, you know, why not? I don't know. You know, why not explore that? Play first base, try DH. Like, who knows? If he's only focusing on hitting, it could only get better. Maybe, right?
It could. And, you know, he's 28 years old. That's how old David Ortiz was when he came to the Red Sox. So, you know, it's about the same point in their careers. I was mentioning recently also in 04 and even as recently as 2013. So 04, 07, 2013, looking back on it now, we had to play at least a couple games of the World Series in the National League ballpark. So if Ortiz was going to be in the lineup, he had to play first base. And I just think of how insane it was in such a high stakes game that nobody questioned, like, are we sure we want to do this? I mean, he was a god by then. So I guess that's why we didn't question it. And it ended up working out fine. But I'm like, looking back on it, I'm like, geez, that could have went sideways
for sure. But Lori, what do you think?
Well, so I like Dever. I let me preface what I'm going to say by saying that I like Devers a lot. However, I'm totally with you on that. Do what's best for the team. Check your ego at the door and do whatever will help propel the team forward. I think on the other side of it also, he's been very reticent to accept any type of real leadership stance permanently in the clubhouse. I feel like that's an issue as well. So you want to call the shots, but yet you're not willing to take the gruff that comes along with being the leader of the clubhouse. So, if you want to be able to say all of the things, then put some skin in the game. Does that make sense? I would have liked to have seen him step up in leadership if he wants to try to say, no, this is what I'm doing. It's disappointing. It's always disappointing when, you know, someone doesn't put the needs of the team first. And so it made me sad when all of that kerfluffle was dusting up. You know, hopefully it won't affect clubhouse chemistry in the long run, and they're able to sync up and really gel and be cohesive throughout the season. I also, though, would like to see Casas get kicked to the curb, because what is he doing flapping his gums about this whole situation? He should not have made any comments about that. Dude, like, this is your second year, right? Second full year?
Maybe it's third, actually.
Okay, third. Yeah, okay. But still, like, it's not like you're a true veteran of the team. Like, you're still earning your stripes. What are you doing? I don't understand that.
So
yeah, Casas.
Well, I was going to say, and this will probably play into it. Like, are you guys more, like, if one has to go, is it Yoshida or Casas?
I'm always going to be partial to keeping the Japanese guy because I lived in Japan for 2 years, so I have a soft spot in my heart for Japanese players. So I'm always going to say keep Yoshida, only also because I feel like he's not such a potential cancer to the clubhouse chemistry.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'd have to agree and say I'd keep Yoshida too, only because Casas just reminds me of like that kid where Devers is standing in the front, like arguing with somebody, and then Casas is just standing behind him, like, yeah, yeah. Like just like the hype man behind him type of personality. And I don't know, he's always had some type of shenanigans going on, and it's never been good. Never vibed well with anybody. I don't think he has any friends in the clubhouse. You know, I think most people are annoyed with him. So I think with Yoshida, you know, aside from the language barrier, for the most part, there's no drama between him and other players. So,
yeah, I feel like if Casas isn't careful, he's going to become the Boston version of A-Rod. And nobody wants that. You know what I mean? I mean, A-Rod was just such a, again, he's right up there with Will Fleming and Doucheville. You know what I mean? If you guys recently had the Douche Hall of Fame, that episode, and David Price is pretty much a among us, I think he's probably a unanimous vote. But if we had to do one for the Yankees, it has to be A-Rod. I mean, there's just no better for that position.
Yeah, Gary Sanchez would be up there for me. I didn't like him. Mark Teixeira was another guy. Just had a punchable face. I didn't like him. Yeah, Clemens was kind of hateable. They wouldn't give Walker Buehler Clemens' number. That's interesting. They haven't retired his number, so.
Yeah, but Clemens comes with an asterisk.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe that's why.
I just feel like maybe he was a Yankee. I just feel like Clemens is just toxic to me.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. And getting back to Casas, I mean, he's lucky he's not a Seattle Mariner because that's really what they tried to do with him. And, you know, we have him and so much is in flux right now. You know, it seemed like there was all this hype behind Christian Campbell, and I just don't think he's going to make it at this point. Out of camp, I mean. And so I think there's a good chance Bregman could be your second baseman. I think Devers might temporarily win the battle just because Vaughn Grissom not playing well, not a good defender anyway. Atlanta pulled the plug on him. And he's not an offensive asset. So you could ride with David Hamilton, I guess. And I guess he would be adequate. But second base is just really tough right now.
Well, but here's the thing, too. If they put Bregman at second and Devers stays at third, Devers better kick some serious butt doing he better not make any mistakes. I mean, because we all know how good Bregman is on third. So he better play to that same level. It better kick up his game because we can't have a repeat of last year.
Yeah, I'm not saying it'll be that way the whole season, but at least out of camp until they can sort things out and get, Campbell firing on all cylinders down at Worcester. I just think that's how it's going to start. I could be wrong. I mean, we got 3 weeks to go, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, second base has kind of been a problem since Dustin Pedroia. I mean, we haven't really had stability there. No. Per se, you know, since he was there, which kind of stinks that we can't find somebody for just that one spot, you know, but love Dustin Pedroia. He was probably one of my favorites.
Same, but I'm kind of surprised that Terry didn't nominate him for the decal. We all know how Terry
I'm
feels
not
about.
A Pedroia guy, but I kind of let it go. And, you know, it is what it is. He's going to be helping Terry Francona in Cincinnati Reds camp. So I thought that was interesting, and perhaps he'll still make an appearance in Red Sox camp, but he and Cora have a really good relationship, but I don't think there'll ever be anyone closer to him than Francona. Yeah, and I was a big Christian Arroyo guy. I mean, I wanted him to pan out so bad, but it just didn't. He couldn't stay healthy.
I think that's what bothered me a lot about him was that he couldn't stay healthy. I could not, for the life of me, like him. I wanted to, but it was just every little injury got to him and just kept him out, and he was always on the injured list and just never available. I was like, this guy needs a new trainer, a new diet, a new regimen. He needs a new everything.
Yeah. Just chronically broken. I remember they tried him at first one time. It might've been right before we got Schwarber, and he did, mm-hmm. he had to do like literally a split to snag the grounder. And that was it. And it was one of the first plays of the game and he was out. I'm like,
yeah,
he went on the injured list or something. So, yeah, I mean, second base has been a black hole, but I think by the end of the year that will be resolved, and for the long term. So we'll see what happens there. But do you guys think we're definitely playoff bound? Like I said, I'm feeling it.
Go ahead, Kayla, you go first.
Well, I'm definitely more optimistic this year. I remember talking to my girlfriend when we made a couple of those moves, and I was explaining to her what it meant, and she said, oh, good, you might not be as sad this year. So I think that we will at least make it in the wild card, if anything. I think that we'll improve and at least make it to the wild card. I want to – you know, I hope that all of these pieces that we've added, you know, mesh together and fit together and work, and, you know, people stay healthy for the majority of the time. You know, all those things have to go right. But I am more optimistic this year than I have been in previous years.
Yeah. Okay. So I feel like I'm going to be the Debbie Downer of this whole conversation. Maybe it's because I've just been trained by the Red Sox to think like this, but I just go with cautious optimism. I don't want to go in like, yeah, this is going to be the year. And then come August, it's wah, 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 wah. You know, we're starting to hit that desert. So I just want to, you know, enjoy each game, be happy if we're on an upward trajectory, but just always like, looking at that left shoe to see if it's going to drop. You know, I'm just always going to be cautiously optimistic. I hope that I'm with you guys in that. I hope that the pitching holds out. I hope that it is everything that we're hoping it's going to be. I hope that with Bregman's leadership, the team really kind of finds its place, the kerfuffle with Jaron Duran over the offseason kind of settles down. Like, I hope that there's no, that they don't bring any baggage into the season, and that they're able to give it a clean slate and really give it their all without anything kind of messing with their game in the back of their minds. Because, you know, those little issues can pop up and pop off, and we've seen it happen even with Durant himself. Like, it affects his game. So you just want to make sure that all the players really go in with a solid mental state. And I'll be interested to see also Sadon Rafaela in his second season, second season with the team, just to see like how he develops, because last year was a pretty good year for him, I think, overall. So I'm interested to see what how he develops this year. And so I'm going to keep an eye on him. And they is it Roman Anthony? No, Marcella Meyer. Marcella Meyer, they're saying that he's going to be up, that he's definitely going to be up. But I don't see how that's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And we haven't really talked about it enough, because where do you put him? His numbers look fine. He hasn't had a single at bat in Worcester yet. So I don't think there's any chance Meyer could make the team. I mean, Trevor Story is your shortstop, but if your second base situation still is in flux and Meyer is just destroying it, then perhaps he's the solution there. Or maybe Story moves over to second and Meyer goes into short. So that's something that needs to be monitored. But I think all three of those kids are going to be up by halfway through the season, if not sooner. Roman Anthony looks really good right now.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But with the pitching, I said, I think two shows ago, if you can get 27 to 30 starts out of Garrett Crochet, Tanner Houck, and Walker Buehler, I don't see how you can miss. I don't see how you can miss.
Yeah.
And you got so many guys to figure out those last two spots. Bayo, it looks like earlier in the week we thought, okay, he's gonna be ready, and now they're kind of walking it back. He could miss one or two starts just because he's not ramped up yet. We've only got about 3 weeks, so
I feel like he's such a wild, he's so unpredictable. He's not like, I remember thinking that Darwin's and Hernandez was just too all over the place. And I feel like Bayo is kind of narrowing that down a bit. He's not as wild as he once was when he first came on, but there's still so much development, I feel like, that needs to happen. And I'm sure people are screaming right now, like, no, he's great. But I just feel like there's a lot of tweaks that need to happen. And I don't know. Last year I would have liked to have seen more consistency, and that's always been the issue.
I feel like he has a little maturing to do as well as a person. I think it was him that there was one game where somebody didn't make a play or something happened, didn't go his way. And the way he reacted on the mound was just, it was just very childlike, very childish. And I remember thinking like, why are you doing that? Like, why are you behaving like that? You're an adult. Two, you're a major, you know, professional athlete. I get having intensity and stuff, but he's still young. I feel like he has some maturing to do as well.
Yeah, I remember that Joe Castiglione really responded to that. Like, that's not okay. We don't do that. It was a big deal. I remember that very clearly.
Alex Cora makes this motion with his hand, and the audience can't see me do it, but he does this, and he's telling Bayo to calm down, just settle down, you know, make your pitches. And and the consistency is really a thing. I mean, he gets kind of home run prone. He'll go on these runs where he's punching everyone out, and then those dip. He did finish the year, I think, over the last 2 months with like a 3.30 ERA. So He was kind of reining it in, but we need to see him do it for a full season. And it doesn't help that every winter he hangs out with Pedro and he shows up to camp hurt. So I don't know what Pedro's doing to him, but yeah, so they need to get a good winter program for him. That way he can come into camp and just ramp up on a normal schedule like all the other guys. But yeah, all right. Well, I won't keep you ladies, but it was fun. And I don't think it has to be just once a year. We could do this more often. So perhaps during the season. And so we'll see what happens. But for the listening audience, we'll probably be back this weekend. The rotation is very unsettled. So hopefully we'll have a little bit more clarity on what at least their timetables are if they're not going to be ready for opening day. So we'll get into that and any other developments that may pop up between now and then. So everyone have a great weekend. Take care.